So today's interview is with Dan Norris. What? I know. Someone with a penis on my show. It's unheard of. You know, I recently hit 100 episodes and I wanted to shake shit up a bit, and I thought, who better to get on than Dan? The reason I wanted to get Dan on was because I think his story is really interesting and he has a different perspective, and he's a man. So why not just get all of those things, bundle them up and see what happens? So this conversation is really interesting, and what it highlights for me, and it was a message I needed to hear today, actually, again, even though I talk about this stuff all the time, wherever you go, there you are. There's a lot of assumptions that happen when somebody has success. And actually, we have this conversation about, you know, this B-School community that I've been a part of it for many years now. And it's often shrouded in hero worship. And that's what I'm not a fan of. That's why I started this podcast, so that I could really show that everyone is the same. We're all having the same struggles. And to put people on a pedestal really is a disservice to ourselves, because it creates a distance between us and where we want to be, if that's even where we want to be, where our soul wants us to be. So this is a really interesting conversation. I think you're going to dig it. So let's just dive in. This is Dan Norris. Welcome to Carlosophy's Stories Behind Success. I'm Carly Nimmo. It's so easy to fall into comparisonitis as an entrepreneur, and it can be paralyzing. In my own journey, I've come to understand that regardless of your level of success, fame, or fortune, we're all suffering from the same stories of fear, struggle, and failure. So let's talk about it.
Well, there's probably not much point going any further back than when I first quit my job, I don't think. So 2006, I've been working for 4 years for a company, a government company, and I'd done lots of different jobs because I just got bored. Every 3 or 4 months I'd get bored, do something else. Eventually I just figured that I'm actually just bored of working. I'm like, the boredom doesn't go away for long enough for it to be a sustainable thing to do, to just keep changing jobs. So I think I was 26, quit my job, started a business the next day, really without any skills or any clue about what I was going to do. Like, I was in human resources, but I wanted to do like web design and shit like that. So I said, okay, I'm going to quit. And then I just randomly contacted people, asked me if they wanted me to build them websites. It was kind of slow at the start, but eventually what happened was, like, every year I would have probably like 30, 40, 50 grand worth of profit. Probably closer to 30 or 40 grand worth of profit. So it was a sort of bit, and I ran it for 7 years. So it was like the sort of business that, like, it wouldn't die. Mm. It should have died. It probably should never have started, but it just wouldn't quite die.
Yeah, like Killer Copy for me. It's exactly the same. Right. Same profit every year, enough to pay me a wage. And then the rest of the time I'm just looking for new shit to do because this business doesn't die.
Yes. And subsequently I've learned that, like, eventually I killed it myself, and that was the best thing I did. I mean, maybe I needed those 7 years to actually learn all the stuff. Like, all the shit I learned throughout that time I applied in the next business that went really well. But looking back, it seems like a long time to run something that was quite shit the whole time. But because and I've had failures since then that have been much more abrupt and much faster and more costly, but you move on from them so much quicker because you have like this defining moment where you fail. Whereas that one, it just wouldn't die. So eventually I realized that, like, this is just a terrible business. It's a terrible life I've got running this business, because I was earning, you know, 30, 40 grand a year, but I had this crazy cycle of entrepreneurship that you have. And I had expensive living arrangements getting more expensive with, you know, living near the beach, having 2 kids, daycare, beer drinking problem, you name it. So eventually I decided to sell that business. I sold it for about $70,000, I think, in 2012. And I used that money to build a piece of software, which is an analytics piece of software. I gave myself a year and $70,000 to do it. It took me a whole year, and the whole $70,000, I lost all of it, had no customers. And I was back to square one, and that's when I launched WP Curve, which is a subscription service for WordPress support. I kind of just applied everything. I guess I applied everything I'd learned, all the mistakes I'd made, all the things I hated about the agency. I made sure when I structured this business, they weren't present. All the things I liked about the agency and the software business, I kind of morphed into this to make sure that at least I was going to enjoy myself, even if it didn't work. But I was kind of in a desperate position because I really did need the money and I'd run out. And it worked, whether by stroke of genius or luck or timing or a combination of all three, probably more luck and timing, to be honest. But it just worked. It took off. Let me think. I think I got 10 customers in the first week and I got about 10 customers a week for the next 2 or 3 years. And we ended up with about 1,000 customers doing over $1 million US a year, 100% recurring with a team of 30 contractors. And we sold to GoDaddy the end of last year, less than 3 years after I started it.
Living the dream.
Yeah.
So a couple of questions for you. Firstly, you know, in the opening sentence perhaps even, you mentioned that you get bored very quickly. And yeah, I'm a bit the same. But my question is, so did you ever feel like, obviously, has there been a point in your life when you realized that was a strength rather than a weakness? Because I imagine most of us grow up thinking that's a bit of a weakness, right?
Yeah, I actually went through a really painful process where, like, I started to realize that getting bored easily is actually a thing called ADD. and it had never crossed my mind that that was the case. But I think I was like 33 or something. Actually, no, it might have been a bit earlier than that. I don't know, early 30s. And then I was having trouble with my kid at the time. He was really badly behaved. So I went to doctors and started learning about, like, does he have ADD and all this. And the ultimate conclusion out of all of it was like, no, the kid's fine, but you have ADD.
You're the problem.
Yeah. So then I'm like, fuck, wow, I really am fucked up. That's why nothing I do ever works. And I went on like medication and shit. It didn't do anything except for make you constipated and kind of high, which was sort of fun, but didn't really feel sustainable. And then literally the only thing that changed was I had some success. Like, if I didn't have that success, like, I probably would just still be thinking the same thing, that I'm just a fuck up, that there's something wrong with me. And then once something did go well for me, it sort of became more about this is not going to necessarily hold you back, but it is something you're going to have to manage. I don't think it's a strength. I don't know if it's a strength. Maybe it is. It's definitely a strength in terms of output of ideas. Like, I can work on lots and lots of different things and produce lots of weird ranging brands and content and books and breweries and fuck knows what else. But
a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. But then if it's a strength, you'd have to look at, like, what's the alternative? The alternative would be focusing really hard on one idea. If you choose that idea really well, potentially you could build something way bigger.
Yeah, so do you think – is that kind of what you did with WP Curve?
Yeah, yeah. But then I got bored as well with that. Yeah. Yeah. So I basically said, okay, there's a lot of stuff I'm working on. I'm going to focus on one idea. I did that with the dashboard. It just turned out to be the wrong idea. So that went to shit. I did the same thing with WP Curve, and that turned out to be the right idea. So that went really well. But it wasn't long after launching WP Curve that I had other ideas about doing other things. And that led to some challenges with Curve and with my business partner. And just it always comes back to, I just like launching lots of different things. And like I was working against my inner nature really by just working on one thing. And while it's probably a good idea, it's a bad idea for me because it just makes me unhappy.
Yeah, and you can have all the money in the world, but if you're really unhappy with what you're doing, what's the fucking point? Yeah. That's not why we work for ourselves.
Yeah, and I just don't really have the – I just really don't have the ability to do it. Like I could do it for a week and then I just get bored and I wouldn't be able to come into the office and do the same work. So I don't know if it's a strength or a weakness, but I have learned to manage it, and – I think I've been lucky. Like, the WP Curve stuff was very lucky. It was a very good result selling it. I'm in a good position now, so I can experiment with a bunch of different things, work on passion projects, and there's got to be some luck in that. Like, it's not all.
Yeah. You know, part of the reason I wanted to get you on, Dan, like, brutal honesty, is because I've found, like, watching you over the course of the last however many years, not like in a stalky way, but
that's creepy. How many years?
But, you know, like I haven't, no, like, because, you know, many years ago we worked together when you were doing your web design stuff and I was doing the voiceover stuff. And I feel like, you know, we were in a similar position doing work that, you know, paid the bills, wasn't particularly soul enriching our souls.
Yeah.
But we did it anyway. And we were probably half decent at it, but we wanted something different, right? And then to see you go on this trajectory, like boom, sky high, and then for me, kind of just staying at the same level.
And, right. Well, and mine wasn't really a trajectory like that. It was more a trajectory like that and then like that.
Yes, but my trajectory has also been like that, right. But I just haven't bounced back. Right. So I guess the point, if there is one, was really like I wanted to have this conversation because something that you said to me when we're at ProBlogger I don't know if it actually was ProBlogger on Facebook. You mentioned a lot of your success came down to luck. And that actually made me feel a bit better about myself. Right. Because I felt like, oh, you know, maybe I'm not. Because you do. When things aren't going when things aren't taking you, particularly if you have expectations of being something more than where you are right now.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah. And so you do have this story that goes around. And I worked through a lot of this late last year of, you know, everything you do is mediocre, everything you do turns to shit. And so I imagine those were stories that you had running in your head a few years back too.
And it breaks my heart to think about other people that are in the same space because literally, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I just... Like, I remember it was like my early 30s. I'd sold the agency. I'd started this dashboard that wasn't working. I was going through all this ADD shit. My marriage would eventually break down and it was on its way. And I was sitting, like, overseas, like, looking into the water, just thinking, like, my life's actually fucked. Like, everything that I planned has not happened and all of my friends are more successful than me and all they did was just stayed in the shitty jobs that they were in, you know, I mean, granted, they did turn up every day and work, which I couldn't have done.
Yeah.
But, and then, you know, 2 years later, I'm on every fucking podcast and I'm on all the magazines and I'm a startup guru and I'm speaking at events and I'm not saying I'm a guru. I'm just saying like, it's like,
that's how that's portrayed.
Yeah. And I'm just the same person. So there's no doubt there's a lot of luck. And, you know, people say they make your own luck, but we're all doing the same thing. Like all of us entrepreneurs, we're all taking enormous risks, like you said with your stuff. We're all working our ass off. It pisses me off. It's like, but people be like, you know, it's hard work, and it's, you know, innovation. It's all fucking bullshit. Like we know it's not hard work because we're all working hard.
Yeah.
And,
okay, and it's not even intelligence. And it's not like it's not intelligence. It's not hard work. And it's not, you know, because I mean, I've had conversations with really stupid people who are really, really successful. And equally, I've had really inspiring conversations with people where I'm like, why haven't you had the success that you should have?
Yeah.
And, you know, is it mindset? Because do you think something shifted within you when?
No,
when this
I was
went
the
down,
worst,
you were just the same.
State of mind I've ever been in my whole life. Like, I was fucking depressed. I thought I had this weird mental illness, which, as it turns out, I think every entrepreneur's got ADD, and now it's not even something I think about or care about at all. But I was in the worst mental state of my life, so it wasn't any kind of special magical thinking. I think it's probably not purely luck. I think it's probably doing myself a disservice by saying it's purely luck because I have – put out a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And when you put out a lot of stuff, your chance of one of those things working well, I think, goes up a lot. But and someone who puts out a lot of stuff is going to have more chance of success than someone who's just smart or someone who is good at analyzing things. So I think there's a lot of factors. It was good timing for me. I'd taken a lot of risks too. Like, a lot of people aren't prepared to take big risks. Like, I'd put everything on the line. I'd lost my house. I'd lost all my money. You know, I'd twice put myself in a position where if it didn't work out, I'd be completely fucked. That's got to be part of it. You know, like, if you're not prepared to take the risks, then your chance of getting the reward is going to be limited, I think. But definitely timing had a lot to do with it, and I think luck had a lot to do with it. And I'm very grateful for it, but I never really know what to tell people who are in that position, because I'm exactly the same person as I was when I was in that position. And the only thing that changed was I just had one thing that worked out of 50 things I've done that haven't worked.
Yeah. Yeah. So just keep throwing shit at the wall, I guess.
That's the only, but the other thing is, one thing I did do, which I think is something people are really, really bad at, which is just giving up on bad ideas. And it's a fucking hard thing to do. It's a very, very hard thing to do. And sometimes it's like relationships. It's like giving up on a relationship that's not working is, when it's done for you, it's very painful, but it's a short amount of pain. But when it's you who's trying to decide if it's right or if it's wrong, it's just this long pain that just goes forever and never goes away. And that's what the business is like if you don't give up on bad ideas. And that's what my agency was like. It was year after year after year of this idea that just wasn't good. It just wasn't a good business. It wasn't good for me. It wasn't, there's nothing different about it. It was a terrible business model. There was so much competition. It just wasn't good. Some ideas are good, some aren't. I feel like I've gotten better at giving up on bad ideas, although still, if I look back through the last 3 or 4 years at all the stuff I've done, there's a lot of money spent on bad ideas that, looking back, seems obvious that they were bad ideas.
Yeah.
That's something I'm working on as well, but it is something I've noticed that a lot of people are very, very bad at.
Yeah.
It's very hard to admit when something is, it's hard to know when you've put everything into something and you get to a point where you're like, that's enough. I've put enough into this. It's just the idea is not going to work. I have to move on to something else.
Yeah.
And that's something people are not good at.
Absolutely. And something that I've struggled with myself, like with Killer Copy, you know, it's not a dud business. It makes me money without really having to do much except sit down and do a few books and stand behind a mic and speak. And I enjoy those things immensely. The rest is outsourced and it just runs without me. So that's given me the freedom and some cash to be able to do other projects. And one of them was my co-working space, which, you know, I opened and I ended up losing $100,000, and that fucking hurt big time.
Yeah.
Because
it's also a physical business, so it's very public and there's a lot of people involved as well.
Yeah. And I think that was part of the difficulty of me letting that, you know, dream go, was because it meant that everyone could see I'd fucked up, where my other ideas, they just disappear and nobody really notices, but this was big.
And also the other thing about that is I don't know what your situation was like, but it seems like the way entrepreneurship is reported on, it's either something's either a big success or it's a big fuck up. So like before it was a fuck up, I'm guessing you were getting lots of attention and lots of press and everyone was really excited and was like, you're this success story. And then, hang on, we're going to go from that to the opposite.
Yeah. And even when you feel like you're taking the dive down, people on the outside were coming up to me going, oh, wow, you look like you're really rocking at life. And I was like, I'm crying every day. If you talk to me for 2.5 seconds more, I'm going to start crying. Like, my life is a fucking mess. Oh, and so it was just, you know, it just, yeah. So what people see on the outside isn't necessarily what is actually going on in. But the reason that I mentioned this was because for me, that decision to close it was really hard. So, and you're right. Like, most people will just stay, like, I would have stayed in this business for my ego, but I literally couldn't, because where would I live? I didn't have any money, so I couldn't continue to pay the rent, let alone all the other shit. So I needed relief, and so that had to go. So I was kind of, my hand was forced there. But also, I had this day where the tax office rang and I didn't have the money, and I was almost just at the point where it was bankruptcy or death. That was really the only ways I could see out of this thing. And I had a call. It was bad. And I had a call with a friend of mine who said, I just want you to close your eyes and imagine that this place is pumping and it's everything that you ever imagined it to be. Is that worth what you're going through now? And the answer for me was a clear no. And so I shut the doors. And so now I use that as a guiding tool. For me, it's like, if it's worth the pain that I'm in now, if it's worth the hustle, if it's worth whatever it is, then I'll keep going. But if not, then it's time to shut the door. So how do you make that decision?
I think that's possibly part of it. But the thing is that often when things are successful, they're not that painful. That's what I found. Like most of the things that I've worked on that have gone well, like I can count on probably three fingers the things I've done that have gone well. WP Curve, my first book, the brewery, I guess you would say, has gone well, although it's a fucking challenging business. All of those things were super easy. Like when I say easy, like there wasn't pain associated with them. Like WP Curve just took off. And there wasn't like, you know, everyone's asking me about growth hacking and all that. Literally nothing we did on that business changed the trajectory of the business. Like it just took off. It went for 2 years. It started to plateau. Nothing we did really boosted the growth. When it started to plateau, we couldn't really recover. Like it just plateaued. That was it. It never really went down, but it just stopped growing. And it wasn't pain. Like literally our biggest pain point was like, how do we hire enough staff to keep up with the growth? Like that's a good, yeah, that's not pain. Like that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
And the brewery was the same. Like there's been challenges, which you would expect when you build a physical thing, but it was just an idea that worked. And every step of the way, you know, we got all this free attention. We got the beer we made was really good. We started winning awards. You know, we got a deal with Call of Duty. Like literally, like these things didn't happen to us because we were going through pain. They just fucking happened. I don't even know why. It was just sometimes ideas just flow. Same as my book. Like my book was, it took me a week to write that book. I'd never written a book before. I was going to put it on my website and that was it. But I put it on Amazon and it just went off. It sold thousands of copies. I've made tens of thousands of dollars out of that book, hundreds probably. And not because of pain I've went through. So that's the tricky thing. It's like some ideas, when they're good ideas, that will just flow. And it's almost like it's out of your hands a little bit.
Yeah.
Not to say I haven't been through pain, but I don't think pain is a necessary ingredient in a good idea.
Yeah, or maybe even an entrepreneur's journey. Like we are kind of sold this idea that there has to be a lot of struggle in order for us to then reach those heights. And I guess that's the whole risk versus reward thing maybe.
It's a nice story too. People don't tell stories that don't have interesting trajectories.
Yeah.
Like if you just started a business and it went really well, there's only so many times someone's going to tell that story, whereas the big famous one
before they're just told to fuck off.
yeah. I don't think it's a necessary ingredient, having like extreme failure. I think it probably helps. I think it's good because I think if you don't have it, then you just don't know what's coming. Yeah, it's going to happen at some point. Like eventually, it's going to happen. And if you are lucky enough for your first business to be really successful, and everyone thinks you're a genius, you probably think you're a genius. You got another thing coming. So yeah. I think I'm good. I'm happy I got a really savage failure out of my way in my 20s. So I know what it's like.
Yeah. And yeah, it acts as like, because then when you do have other failure, you're just like, didn't work. Yeah. Oh, well.
And success too. Like I don't claim 100% ownership over my success. Like I know, and or failure, like you can claim some ownership, but sometimes shit just doesn't work. And sometimes shit does work, and so there's a fair bit of random in there. But I can imagine you could get really caught up in that. You can definitely get caught up in the failure thing. Like I was really caught up in that. It would work both ways, I imagine. If you're just successful, you would just think you're a bloody legend until you realize it's like a lot of it's actually out of your hands.
Yeah. Oh, God, something was just coming into my head then and it went out the other ear. Hang on.
One thing I find interesting is like people who like would take a business, like you hear them like, you know, I took this business from 1 million to 5 million type thing. They'll claim that as if it's the same as taking a business from 0 million to 4 million. You know what I mean? Like it's like they claim 100% ownership of that transition. But I've found that when momentum kicks in, it just does all the work for you. And so I guess like in my ideal world for every entrepreneur, I would hope that they get to a spot where that momentum kicks in. But to be honest with you, almost every entrepreneur I know has not had that happen to them. You know what I mean? Like it's like the story that gets in the podcast and gets in the paper and whatnot. But most entrepreneurs I know are just working their ass off. They're wondering why the next entrepreneur is more successful than them, and they're taking enormous risks and they're probably not earning anywhere near as much money as they're worth. And I think that's pretty much across the board. Like I think it's really rare. for people to have like really breakout successes. Maybe I hang out with the wrong people. I don't know. But in my community, I've noticed that like it's you sold this idea that entrepreneurship is this massive thing. Like I thought I was just going to be minted.
Yeah.
But I was just poor for years.
What I was thinking about came back to me. So that was when we're talking about failure, you know, we talk about, you were just saying about how it's, you can get really stuck in it and it kind of becomes personal and how it's really not that personal. And what I like about you and the things that you talk about, it takes a bit of the responsibility of all being on me and adds in this other element of luck. I hang around with a lot, and part of the reason, the other reason that I wanted you to come on was because I feel like I hang around in a lot of female entrepreneur circles. So like B-schoolers and shit like that. And they, and not they as a collective, but generally they tend to take business very, very personally.
Yeah.
And it becomes about them and what's wrong with them and all that kind of jazz. And part of the reason I wanted to get you on was because I haven't interviewed a man before, and I thought it'd be really interesting because I'm about to, well, I will have hit 100 by this time, the time this goes live. And I wanted to get like a male's perspective on this stuff. I guess to see, I know we're all the same, but sometimes I do think men think a little bit differently. And the way, and when I had my co-working space, it was pretty much all men. So I saw the way that they did business, and it was very different to my girlfriends who were sitting around questioning whether they should hit post on their Facebook comment that they're, you know, there's a lot of overthinking that tends to go on in the female entrepreneur circles. And I think, I'm just wondering if it's the same.
God, I don't know. I guess there are some differences. I mean, what... I don't want to offend. I'll probably offend all
No, that's okay. I've probably already offended a lot of people.
I think, like, especially with the B-school crowd, I think there's a lot of, like, hero-worshipping going on in that crowd.
Totally.
And that never really gets you anywhere. Like, that it's not really a male or female thing. I mean, males do it as well as females, but I have noticed in that group of people that happens a lot, and a lot of people try and replicate, like, the model of Mari Forleo and the other kind of, you know, well-known female online influencers. But online marketing is a bit of a pyramid scheme. Like the people at the top are very, very few and far between, and then there's thousands and thousands of people are paying those people to teach them how to be them. But there's so much competition. Like Mari Forleo doesn't have any competition because she's Mari Forleo. But everyone in her audience who are all trying to start exactly the same business and like doing this personal branding and, you know, doing all the online content, which I love. I love all the content, but I worry that they're just putting themselves in a position where there's just too much competition. It's too hard to stand out. And also the way you go about marketing, you really, really have to be honest with yourself about what is right for you. Like I see a lot of people just literally following that model with the videos and the professional photos and all of that exactly the same as her. But you got to remember that you have to have some like self, what's the word? Like self, I guess self-awareness that like there's a reason why like the personal branding and the video and the like all that kind of over the top stuff works for people like Mari Forleo. It's because she's Mari Forleo and she's a fucking epic individual and she's very nice looking and she's very funny and she's got a great story and she's very successful. And you put all of those elements together and maybe that's when that personal brand angle works really well.
But there's also this dark side to this, right? Because I just had one of my guests on a couple of episodes ago was this chick, Amy Wright. Great chick, another B-schooler like myself, just invested in herself because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Until she basically invested in herself into bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Because we're all fed this idea, not ideal, but, you know, we're all fed this ideal of what we're supposed to be and who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do in order to reach that level of success that we want or that level of acknowledgement or recognition or whatever. And then that costs a lot of money.
Yeah, I think you need to be really careful, especially with the personal branded stuff like that model. I think for the most part, it's a bad option for most people because it's not – it's sort of like trying to be a TV. Like if I went to try and be a TV personality. Like, I know I'm not right for that. Like, I can look at someone and know they're fucking perfect for doing that. I'm not. And it's I guess it's years of just learning what gets traction and what doesn't get traction. So just blindly following, and it's not really a male or female thing, because I've done it throughout my career and other entrepreneurs do it as well. You know, like they're trying to be Gary Vee, or they're trying to be James Schramko, or they're trying to be Chris Ducker. But like someone like Ducker, the dude's the most charismatic dude I know. Like, he's funny. He's got a unique look about him. He's got a silly accent. He's very successful. He's got a great story. He's very good at self-promotion. He's extremely charismatic. Don't fucking try to be Ducker, because you're not going to pull that off.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like it's like when you go to like a startup day and everyone's the Uber for something. It's like,
yeah,
I'm the Chris Ducker of blah, blah, you know, like,
yeah,
boring.
It's really hard. And just, I think these people unknowingly kind of educate their audience in trying to be them. And I think it almost always ends badly. I think that really the only answer for that is try to find yourself a position where you don't have as much competition, and also just work on your own self-awareness. Like, you've got to know, if you're doing video, not many people are good at video. Like, I fucking suck at video. I've learned that because I've done 10 of them and they were shit. And I can
actually
be honest with myself,
I think you're kind of, there was that really good one where you did the review.
No, there was no good ones.
They were funny.
Yeah, but it wasn't sustainable. It was just me being an idiot. But yeah, so I think self-awareness is important, and whatever you can do to get yourself into a position where you don't have the same level of competition, I think it's probably marketing. You know, if you're starting a podcast, and again, probably offending you here, but like, everyone's got a fucking podcast. If you're just doing a podcast that's going to interview solopreneurs like that are personally branded selling info products, like, good luck.
Yeah.
There's so many already. So what can you do that's going to be different? And Mari's stuff was different. Like she's not successful because she did video. She's successful because she was different. So the trick is, and the same with WP Curve, it got so much attention because it was the only business that anyone had ever heard of that had done like a recurring unlimited service. And I just made that up because I didn't know what the fuck else to do. But that's the reason it got traction. It was because it was different to everything else. And all of a sudden, you could either pay an agency or you could pay a low monthly subscription. And we were out here by ourselves and everyone else was over here. So I think for people in that audience, and women, perhaps more so than men, I don't know if that's true or not, but I have definitely seen it in that audience a lot, tend to follow a bit too much. I think we all do it too much, but I think follow a bit too much. And the other thing is make a lot of assumptions about people's success. Like, what I've learned over the years is people are only crushing it until it all goes to shit and then they're failing. And this is from everyone from, you know, online marketers all the way to like big startups with multiple hundreds of millions in investment. All of a sudden they're crushing it, they're crushing it, they're crushing it, they're everywhere. Next day they're out of business and everyone forgets. And this happens all the time. So you need to be very careful. Like, I hear people all the time say, you know, this model's working for that person, so it's validated.
Yeah.
You need to be really careful with that, because you don't really know how much success, even if people are doing income reports, you don't really know how honest those are. So you have to be really careful with like making assumptions about people's success. A lot of, especially when you're in the business of making yourself look successful, which is what you're doing if you're doing personal branding. So I think people need to be careful with that.
Yeah, totally. And so what's your spin on this whole, you know, movement of the last, I guess, decade of following your passion and purpose?
I think it's a bad idea, generally. I normally think about, like, you need to do something that you're going to enjoy doing every day, but you just can't ignore the commercial realities. Like best case scenario, my best case scenario is, like, entrepreneurship is what I love doing every day, and creating new things. I love some more than others. Like, I don't love rocking up to sales meetings or having coffee with people trying to convince them that they should have a website. I would rather write a blog post. So there's things I love more than the others, but overall, generally, I love the idea of entrepreneurship. So as long as I'm working every day on new business ideas, then I'm happy. But I think the problem where people go wrong is they really niche down their passion. So, like, I like surfing, for example. I could have started a surfing business, or I like cars. I could have started a cars business, but if I did, I would be broke because surfers don't ever pay for anything and mechanics don't make any money. So I think you need to be very careful with the advice. I have people around me who completely disagree with me on that, and that's cool too. And I think you also need to be you need to accept the fact that if you do follow your passion and follow your bliss, there's still a very, very good chance it's all going to go to shit. That's the nature of entrepreneurship. Like, you're going to have to address failure at some point. To me, think about what you're doing every day and make sure that's good, but don't go after an obscure niche because you like doing it in your spare time. There's a difference between a hobby and a business, and not every hobby is a good business idea. Most of them are terrible business ideas.
And it's okay just to have a hobby, right?
Like, it's okay just to have a hobby, absolutely. Like I surf. Like, this was. I've learned this so many times all over. I started doing architecture because I'm like, oh, I just want to design houses. And I'm like, this is going to take me 10 years to do this part-time, whereas I could just have a decent business and then just go buy a fucking house and design it.
Yeah.
And then I would fulfill the same hobby. I'm not going to make any money out of it, but I don't want to be an architect anyway because it sounds like a shit job.
a lot of hours.
Yeah, and for
and attention really to detail cool. And
yeah, and you need to be able to draw. I can't even draw. I can't even write my name.
And you have to be good at math. And
it's a stupid idea. It's a stupid idea. But yeah, I think be very careful with that advice. Yeah, absolutely nothing wrong with things being a hobby, and if you can build a business around flexibility, which is one of the number one things you get out of having your own business. It's not enough, by the way. It's not enough just to be flexible, because you're going to hate yourself if you're earning shit money and you have a shit life, even if it's flexible.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? Like, I often say that, like, freedom or that flexibility is a prison in itself, because when you have too much flexibility and you have too much freedom and there aren't any constraints around that, it's nothing. It's boredom. It's sitting on your ass doing sweet fuck all.
And it's requiring a lot of self-drive, a lot of motivation. It needs to be managed. Like, that's another thing I felt with online business. I really struggled with just showing up every day when the team is not here expecting me to show up. So that's a whole other challenge. But yeah, I feel like we're painting a really bad picture.
I know. Hey, just stick with your day job.
Yeah.
No, but it's like, it's real, right? Like, it is fucking hard, but it is also really enjoyable, which is why we aren't working for somebody else.
We've fucked up ourselves so much to the point where we got used to so much flexibility and so much freedom and so much ability to work on your own thing. And we've been sold so many stories about how rich we're going to be that there's no going back now. So the thought of going back is unbearable.
Yes, totally. I had not too long ago, I had a day where I got on Seek and I was just like, what the fuck am I qualified to do? Nothing. Yeah. So I'll just stick with what I'm doing.
Yeah, I've had that moment quite a few times.
So you do a lot of writing.
Don't do a whole lot of writing.
Anymore?
I just sort of write in bursts. I actually don't do a whole. I think I've written one post this year.
You wrote a book though.
What's that?
You wrote a book. Oh, that was last year, I guess.
Last year, I've written four books. I sort of do it in bursts where I'll do a lot of writing, but I don't sort of write regularly. I'd like to, but again, it's consistency. I just struggle with it.
Yeah, yeah. So hear you. Over the last few years, a lot has changed in your life. What do you think has changed about you? Like, I guess the way life looks from the outside probably has changed a lot.
To be honest, I don't think things change that much. I think people like to think there's like a really massive change coming, but even selling the business and like my day to day, it's, I don't know, it's not really that different, you know. Like I was living in when I had WPCO, I was paying myself a really nice wage, so I had good money. I was living in a cool spot. I didn't own my house, but if you don't care about that, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I had 100% flexibility. You know, it's really, I don't know, you could give me a few million dollars right now, my life wouldn't really change that much, I don't think. And I think, like, it's been a big change going from, like, hating myself and just feeling like a failure and just being scared of the future to now where I'm good. I'm not worried about anything. But the actual day-to-day life is the same. Like, I kind of wake up, get coffee, go for a surf if I don't feel too guilty about going for a surf. Do as much work as possible because I still like it and I feel guilty if I don't do it. Go out to dinner. I don't know. I feel like life doesn't change that much.
Yeah. Well, that's good because it's like a sign that it was, you know, it's what you wanted anyway, really.
Yeah. I think it's nice to feel like people look up to you and respect you, which I do feel now. Before I didn't, because I was just failing. But really, that's just a pure vanity, pure ego. It doesn't really affect your life at all. But it's a nice way to go through life to think that there's people out there who know who you are and respect you, whereas as opposed to no one knows who the fuck you are and you're just a shitty business person. But again, just pure ego. It doesn't really actually affect your life at all. It just means you get a lot more requests to do stuff that you have to say no to, you feel bad about. But day-to-day life, I don't know, I feel like it's as an entrepreneur, your life is always going to be pretty much the same, unless you're just going to go straight baller Dan Bilzerian style if you sell your business. But for the most part, life is going to be pretty much the same, I think.
Yeah, and so what about on the inside? What transformations have happened on the inside?
I don't know. I guess I'm always working on different parts of things I think I'm not good at. But that fluctuates as well. Like I started doing a lot of public speaking because it was really scary for me to do that. And I thought, you know, work on your weaknesses and go tell your story. But then I just got to the point where I'm like, I fucking hate this. Like, why am I doing this? It's so stressful. Yeah.
It is really stressful for sure. But I enjoy it. Like I've struggled with this too, because sometimes I think that the test is if you do it 10 times, right? And if you still hate it after 10 times, then move the fuck on. But
well, I hate before it. Like,
yeah.
It's pure just nerves and anxiety. Like it's purely just me like just being revoltingly scared about doing it. And then I just go from, well, that's a good reason to do it, still do it, to fuck that. I can do what I want. I don't have to speak anywhere. I can just do podcasts, which I'm perfectly comfortable doing. But those battles are always happening, you know, like self-confidence I'm always battling with. All the same battles I had before, I think I'm still battling with in a way. It's just probably just the big one about like feeling. I kind of feel like even if I fail now, I still don't feel like a failure, because I know now, like I handle failure differently now. I'm not scared of failure anymore. It's more like business is just one big experiment, and everyone knows that about me. Everyone knows that if I fail at something, I really don't care. It's just that I was able to figure out that it's not working quicker than I would have been able to 5 years ago. So that is a big change, like just being fearful of, you know, people thinking you're a failure or fearful of failing. I'm not fearful of that anymore. I haven't been for quite a few years. But that's a nice thing as an entrepreneur. But it's also, it can be risky too, because I tend to throw money into stuff and time into stuff without really thinking it through, and sometimes that can be good, but quite often that can be bad.
Yeah, I hear. And last question is, what does the future look like for you?
The future just looks exactly the same as the present, unless something really bad happens. That's what I mean. Like, I don't really aspire for the future to be any different to what the present is. Like, I'm good. I'm good now. Hopefully I'm good in the future, and that's it really. Like, I don't, like, I always think, like, I write down these career goals. I'm like, oh, it'd be good to like impact 1 million people. But then I don't know. I don't think it would really change that much. Like, I like helping people. I like putting content out there. I like seeing other people starting businesses. But whether it's 100 people or 1 million people, I think I'm probably just the same person. Like, I don't really want to be famous. I don't really want to be on TV. I'm pretty good where things are at the moment. I hope I don't just squander everything I've got. I hope I'm just able to launch new ideas and do a good job with them. And obviously I hope I can replicate some sort of success that I had before. But I'm also very mindful that that could be the only time it happens. And if that happens and I don't lose all my money and lose all my friends, then that's probably okay too.
Yeah, and I think most of us, the main issue that we have is this attachment to some kind of outcome being a different place than where we are right now. And so for you, that battle is kind of won, because you're happy now and you know that regardless, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, and it was a learning experience too. Like, it's especially selling a business. Like, I never would have thought, like, the way all of that happened was very, very, very lucky and very fortunate for everyone really, but especially me, because I was able to completely get out of that business that I'd lost all contact with. Like, I'd lost control of it. Like, I'd lost interest in it. To be able to get out and to get rewarded at the same time, that was a big deal. But at the same time, it was just really weird. Like, it was just one day I was there. The next day I had, you know, a reasonable amount of money, which I'm not allowed to talk about, but it's just the same. I just checked my phone, I checked my bank balance, went out for coffee. It's just the same. Everything was the same.
Had a surf, felt guilty about it, did work, felt
Yeah, and then I started worrying about what I was going to do with the money, and that was a whole other fucking month or two of worrying about shit that I didn't have to worry about before. But yeah, things don't change that much. I think it's all, like, you've probably heard this a million times, but it is, life is just like how you think about stuff. And if you got a success under your belt and you really value, like, yourself being a success, then that will change the way you think about stuff. But that happened to me, you know, 3 years ago. And from that point on, whether or not I've got a business that's worth a lot of money, or whether I've got a lot of money in the bank or a house, that doesn't change anymore. It really, the big change was when I went from, you know, hating myself, feeling like a failure, to at least feeling like, okay, maybe I'm not 100% responsible, but at least I have done something good in my life, successful in my life, which I hadn't up until that point. And it was getting, I don't know, you feel like you get to like mid-30s, and like you said before, I've always felt like someone who was going to do something good, something significant, but it just never did. And it's not a nice feeling. But yeah, but I just don't know what to tell people in that position, because all I did was I just kept fucking trying, and eventually it worked.
So it gives us hope. Just keep going through it all.
There's hope, and maybe there's some kind of there's something nice about realizing that it's whatever. Like, if you really think things are going to be completely different in the future when you do have that big success, then consider that you might be wrong. You know, consider that the day-to-day life of what you're doing now probably going to be more or less exactly the same. Not to say you don't go for it. But really, the reward comes for me, especially the reward comes in the creativity side, is the making stuff. It's not necessarily in the reward side. And I think you can do that regardless of whether you're, you know, getting big success or not. Like, you can still keep the creativity up. And that's, to me, the most rewarding thing.
Yeah, I think when you do something because you feel like something is lacking within yourself and this is going to fix it, that's when it's a mistake.
Yeah. And that's really why most of us do most of the things we do, if totally. We're honest.
Good times. Time to kick up your feet and relax. It's on the couch. Biggest fear?
Socializing.
What do you struggle with at the moment? What's your big struggle now?
Biggest struggle? Probably being a good parent.
Yeah. What, yeah, like kids. Finding balance?
Not balance, just making sure that I'm enjoying being a dad, and that they're getting a good experience being my sons. That's been a big challenge. Yeah.
Failure. What does it mean to you now?
Oh, it's just an experimentation. It's a scientific study of something. Sometimes you get a positive result, sometimes you get a negative result, and it gives you more information to go on to the next experiment. That's all it is.
And, you know, I don't, well, I'm pretty sure we all do, but I haven't interviewed a man, so this is you. you know, we all have like this evil bitch in our head that tells us a bunch of untruths about who we are. What is the thing that's on record for you? What do you hear that evil bitch tell you the most?
I feel like most of the stuff I tell myself is fairly accurate. I think to be honest with you, like, most of the stuff that other people tell you is not accurate, because everyone just wants to be nice. And so, yes, having a bitch in your head is a bad thing, to be negative all the time, but it's also very, very helpful. And it's also what I think is possibly the difference between some successful people and others, because they're really able to be honest with themselves. What's mine? Oh, God, I don't know. Fuck, my head's fucking crazy. I think of so much stuff all the time. Like, I can't even really think of one particular thing. I mean, I struggle with socializing. Like, that's a really big fear. The other one I have is I like to surf a lot, but I'm very scared of the water and drowning. So I'm always telling myself, always cycling those things through my head, which is probably not beneficial. But, yeah, I guess they're the big ones.
Yeah. So what, on the flip side to that, what is success?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even really like the word, to be honest. I feel like there's this, like, people only think of failure or success, and there's just nothing in between. Really, it's all in between. Like, unless you're Oprah or Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk, then you're somewhere south of success. really. A south of proper legit Elon level success. And if you're alive and you're not a complete asshole, then you're somewhere north of complete failure. And I think we're all in between. The situation I'm in now, 2 years ago, I could never have been convinced that this would even be possible. But there's people out there who are younger than me who have 100 times the wealth and success that I have that would look at what I have and think I was a complete fucking failure of a person. So I just think it's a really, really big scale, and you just the challenge is to just be happy with wherever you are at the moment, which is easier said than done. But that's the challenge. There's not really a success or unsuccessful. But there is happy and not depressed, and that's more a reflection of how you think about where you're at. But again, there's a flip side to that too. Like, having ambition is important too, and putting pressure on yourself to get further. You've got to do that if you want to get further.
Yeah.
So
it's just like always, everything is just like a big dichotomy, isn't it?
It is. And like, balance is like a nice word that you might use to describe that, but that's not how it feels.
No.
There's no balance here.
No. There is, yeah. It's like, balance is a fallacy too, really. You know, I mean, yeah.
It's a constant struggle. It's like with the flexibility thing. Yes, you've got all this flexibility, but you've got the guilt that goes along with that flexibility. And so it's not you're not balancing life and work. You're meshing it together, and you're trying to deal with the guilt and the flexibility, and you're trying to be successful and work harder, and it just becomes a big ball of your life, and it becomes problems. But as long as those are the sort of problems you want to solve, then you'll be happy.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I have done a lot of, one of the things when the Office Collective was going south that really turned things around for me was I had this picture of above and below the line, and above the line was success, and below was failure, and above was love, yeah, and below was fear. But really, it's like that line is like the balance. And sometimes we are down in fear, and sometimes we are up in love. But at all times, we're somewhere along that spectrum, and neither is good or bad, really. It just is.
Yeah. One of the things that helped me was in Mark Manson's book. He talks about this idea of problems, and it doesn't matter what you have in your life, you will always have problems that need to be solved. But the trick is to put yourself in a situation where you're solving the problems that you want to be solving. And I really felt this with selling the business and getting a bunch of money. I started freaking out about this money that I was going to spend it, or which I fucking will, by the way, because I'm useless at money. So I'm like, God, I've got to buy a house. I've got to put it into something, before I spend it all. And this became a huge problem for me. Like, it was a day-to-day problem. And before that, I would have thought, that's a ridiculous problem. Like, that's a good problem to have. But I didn't want this problem. I want that to go away, and I don't want that problem. So I think thinking about the sort of problems you want to solve is really key, but also just realizing that you never get to a place in the future where you have no problems. You just get to a place where you have different problems. Some of them are really fun to solve. Like, a lot of the problems that entrepreneurs solve are really fun to solve, but some of them are really bad. Like not making enough money can sometimes be a really, really stressful problem to solve. But, creating new projects can be a really fun problem to solve. So ending up in a position where you're having fun with the problems is a big thing, if you can do it.
The plug. Instead of filling the podcast with self-promotion, we're being totally transparent. Here's the plug.
Just so my website, dannorris.me, I have all my books up there. I've got a mastermind group, got a free Facebook group, which you can join as well. That's the free Facebook group. You get 7-day startup. Put that into Facebook. That's probably a good place to start.
The takeaway: exercises or tips for positive change, sprinkled with salt and vinegar, wrapped in newspaper, and handed over the counter from our special guest to you.
The pressure.
Yeah, well, I think like just self-awareness and just not putting so much pressure on yourself to get to a different destination, I think is kind of been a theme of what we've been talking about, because by the time you get there, you might find that you've spent 20 years trying to get somewhere that is not that different to where you currently are.
Yeah, because wherever you go, there you are, you know?
Yeah.
There's no geographical or like, physical or time, place where you can go where you won't be.
That's right. And you still got the same thoughts, the same crazy thoughts, and be prepared for that, I guess.
So, you know, life's fucked. Just give up now while you're seriously.
Well, you might enjoy it too. Like some people, like most of us, like you said before, we can't do anything else. Like, this is it.
And I wouldn't do anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Neither.
So therefore, you know, it's success, right? Too. That is success. Yeah. Because we don't really want to be doing anything else. It's hard sometimes.
That's right.
But it's rewarding. So, you know, and while it's that, we'll just keep plugging along.
It's a lot more successful than the average person who's literally spending every day doing something they don't want to do and hoping they get to the point where they don't have to do that. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you.
All right. No worries. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Pleasure. Pleasure. Thanks for being the first guy.
No worries. I hope I didn't offend anyone.
No, I'm sure you did. No, just kidding.
Thanks for tuning in to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. Let's continue the conversation at carlynimmo.com. If you were a big fan of the podcast, I'd be stoked if you left a review. And if you want to hear more radness just like this, be sure to subscribe and spread the word. In the meantime, be real, be rad. Peace out.